Hello, it's Jill Burridge here, and today we're talking about fostering, in particular, obviously, within Hertfordshire. And joining me in the studio is Rosemary Hobday, who's part of the team for West Herts. You're based, I think, in Hemel Hempstead, Rosemary.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about the fostering services. Is there a great need for foster parents in Hertfordshire?
There is a great need. We're particularly looking for people who can offer foster care for children with disabilities, for teenagers, for sibling groups, and also for long-term for children over the age of 8. At the moment, our campaign is sort of really looking at people who could offer care for these children, who have space, the time, passionate commitment and interest in caring for children, who really want to help a child make a difference and help them on their journey towards adulthood.
And the children that need to be fostered come from families where the children have needed, for whatever reason, to be taken into care. Is that right?
Yes, from the local area. And it may be that families are having difficulties for a period of time and they don't have significant extended family or friendship support. And then children need to come into care for a shorter period of time. Or it may be that the children are at risk of quite significant harm. And then we need to assess whether the parents can change and their children can return to them, or whether there's anybody else in the extended family or family network who could care for the children. That's when foster carers come in, that if there is no one, we need to provide them with a caring home locally so they can get to school, they can maintain contact with friends and family. And that's where, you know, we're really sort of saying we want Hertfordshire people who have that sort of commitment and time to contact us and to find out more about the fostering service.
Do you know how many children there are in care in Hertfordshire?
In Hertfordshire, it's over 1,000 children.
That's a lot.
Yes, it is a lot. And it is also a big county because obviously there's 4 fostering teams that cover the whole area. And I work in this area covering the west of Hertfordshire. And our idea is obviously to recruit local people and to maintain all those sort of local connections for the children who need care for a period of time.
So what sort of qualities are you looking for when people come forward and say, I'd like to consider fostering a child or indeed children?
Obviously, we're looking for people who really care about wanting to provide a home for children, who have some experience of their own or in their profession or family of caring for children, who have space in their home and time. It doesn't necessarily mean that people have to be at home all the time, although clearly we need to think about school holidays and what happens if children are out of school for any reason. But we're looking for people who have that sort of experience and knowledge and who really would want to do something positive to help children who are having a difficult time.
Well, let me turn to Jill, who's also in the studio with us. Welcome, Jill. You are one of those parents who came forward to say that you would like to consider fostering children. How many children have you fostered?
I've been fostering for 5 years, but I haven't fostered that many, as I tend to keep them. We started off with a 2-day-old baby, and then when she was 9 months old, we were asked if we would take in a 14-year-old, just turned 14-year-old young lady. And we said yes, and she's been with us until just recently when she went off to university, so she'll pop back and visit. And then even more recently, we were asked if we'd take in 2 young children, and then 2 days later, could we take their siblings? So we have all 4 now, which is very challenging and very busy and very loud, but it's lovely. It's lovely to see them all together.
You need space above all, don't you?
Brothers can share a room with, you know, with the boys can share a room with their brothers and girls can share a room with their sisters. But you need a certain amount of room.
Presumably the husband is also sort of in on the bargain. And what made you as a couple decide that this was what you wanted to do?
My husband was supportive, but I think it's probably my idea initially. We both sort of started to miss the fact that we had no longer had young children. They were all grown up, and we were sort of discussing how we missed going to the park and theme parks and Peppa Pig Land, all those silly things that we did when ours were young. And I wanted to do something. I'd worked in a job and a career for 20 years that I didn't find particularly rewarding. And I felt like I wanted to change and do something that was actually good for the world, so to speak, you know, and that you felt that it was a rewarding thing to do.
So if you take on a baby, then that's a new life in a way. So while they're little like that, you bring them up from the word go. But when you take on a teenager, as you did, 14-year-old, they come ready formed, if you like. So you have to be prepared, I imagine, for some challenging situations, do you?
Yes, I think if you've had your own children, been through the teenage stage yourself, it does help. And I just think patience and a little bit of give and take, you know, don't fight every battle, choose your battles, and a sense of humour, really. That's the thing that got us through, I think.
Are you fairly laid back as parents?
I think we are. We don't make harsh rules for the sake of rules, but the rules that are there for safety must be adhered to. And I think, you know, if you explain to them that's why they're there and you discuss everything with them, I think they're more likely to go with it.
When you do come forward and you take on children, do the fostering service offer support if you need it?
My supervising social worker, she's always there if I need any help or need to know anything. There are support groups you can go to. There's lots and lots of courses that you can go to help you just become more knowledgeable. You raise your own children not really knowing anything, and when you become a foster parent, you actually learn how to do it.
I imagine, Rosemary, that actually having that support in place is an important factor for a lot of foster parents.
Yes, I think that's true, that you know, our support is very good in Hertfordshire, and all foster carers have a supervising social worker, as Jill has mentioned. And there's also out-of-hours provision, like a support line, and we have an out-of-hours service. So there is support 24 hours, isn't there, really, right through the year. And also that sort of peer support between foster carers, you know, sort of buddies, mentors and support groups, and a really excellent sort of training programme, which, you know, really sort of thinks about how to help children who have been traumatised, how to help them and support them with their emotions and to achieve well. And we have a very good school connection, our virtual school, who help and support us and the foster carers with education for the children. But I was just wondering, Jill, if I could just ask, you know, with the baby, because usually when a baby's placed, we think about a baby either returning to family or to move on to adoption. What was the situation with your baby?
For the first 6 months, the baby had contact with parents, and obviously they were going through assessments as to whether they would be okay to, you know, to look after and parent this child. 6 months down the line, a judge then decided that he didn't think it was in the best interests of the child to go home, so she went up for adoption. But it was already apparent that the child had special needs, and adopters didn't come forward for quite a while. And by this time, we'd just bonded with her so much that we decided to adopt her ourselves.
She has special needs that you can manage at home.
Yes, yes. She's got global developmental delay and maybe an undiagnosed genetic condition and some other physical problems, but, you know, it's not hugely disabling.
You're handling quite a sensitive situation there with the parents initially being able to have contact. Did that sort of present difficulties for you?
A little bit, in the fact that it was my first ever experience of fostering, and I was trying to do a good job and make sure this baby was well looked after and well loved and looked lovely when I took her to visit her parents. But because they weren't very happy with the situation, they would write comments that, you know, she hasn't got a clean this or a clean that, and they weren't, it wasn't correct, but it did make me think, oh, you know, am I doing the right thing?
Yeah.
But I think you know, you just have to accept the situation and know that, you know, they're just upset that things aren't going very well. They have a lot of problems to deal with themselves, really.
Diplomacy is key.
Yes. Don't take it too personally.
Because you can't help but get personally involved, because you are looking after the child, and that you must become very attached to them.
You do,
as you did.
Yes,
because you wouldn't adopt otherwise. But I guess that sort of thing of when you're fostering, it isn't the same as adopting. It can
right.
be it's, for it's, a temporary period.
Yes, and it's obviously a parenting and caring task that you're taking on, very much so, but it's also a professional role. So you're very much working as part of a team in working out what's best for this child, working to their care plan. And, you know, obviously in Jill's case, putting herself forward for an adopter, that had to be, you know, properly assessed and decided, was this the right thing for the child? Bearing in mind all the issues about contact with family and locality, really. So yes, a foster carer's role is very much working as part of a team, and also being clear about your role is to think about what's best for the child and how to best protect them.
Raising a family is an expensive business, so do you receive an allowance when you foster?
You do receive an allowance that covers the cost of their clothes and food and, you know, daily living expenses. And you also get a fee on top to help you do the job, because it is in some ways it is a job and it's a career. There are people that would like to foster that would need some sort of financial reward to do it. For instance, I have a friend who's now going through the process of the assessment for fostering. And if she is passed at the end, she will have to give up her job to do it. So if there was no financial reward at all, then people like her wouldn't be able to do it.
Mm. It is a real consideration, isn't it?
Yes.
Jill has raised the idea, you know, that there is an assessment to be done, obviously, when parents come forward. What does that entail, Rosemary?
Well, first of all, it entails prospective applicants or people who are interested sort of making inquiries and being visited in their home and then being invited to a Skills to Foster training course. So the idea of the training course is for us to get to know them better and to explain to them about what caring for children for Hertfordshire entails, but also for them to really make a decision, is this the right thing for us and for our family? And then after that training course, then the assessment begins. It takes probably about 3 months, doesn't it? And then the final decision is made by a fostering panel report, goes to fostering panel, a lot of checks, local authority checks, police checks, medical references. So it's quite an intensive process, but obviously we try and make it interesting and in some ways enjoyable. But it does mean that we need to think about how to ensure that we are approving the right people to care for our children and making sure that they are safe people to care for our children.
It is quite thorough. And it can feel invasive because you have a stranger coming into your home and looking around your house and making comments and asking you questions about your childhood and your parenting style and the ins and outs of everything. But it was done in a very nice, chatty, friendly way, and I didn't feel intimidated at all. I quite enjoyed all the sessions, actually. You know, you understand there's a reason. They got to get to know you and what you're like and what your home's like. And so they need to know the child will be safe with you.
If somebody is accepted, or a couple are accepted as foster parents, then when you're placing children who need care, do you try and match them in any way to appropriate foster parents?
Yes, certainly, you know, people will express their sort of preference for an age group and also maybe where their skills and interests lie. So we would certainly match in all sorts of different ways, geographically, in terms of their race and culture, religion, and also really sort of like what skills the carers have, who else is in the family. But I suppose for Jill, your experience was being asked about a teenager who loved horses, wasn't
yes,
it, really?
Yes.
So then also, like, yes, an interest that they have, because I think that really worked for her, didn't it, really, the fact that you had horses?
Because my social worker saw her profile picture with her cuddling a horse, knew I had horses, and thought, oh, that would be a good match. And she came to visit us, loved the horses, and she did really well. She went off to college to study horse management and is now at uni doing equine science with therapy. So she's doing very well.
Amazing story. Yes. And do parents, once if they go through the assessment and come out the other side approved, as it were, do some foster parents say, I don't feel I could cope with a child with disabilities, say, or does that happen?
Yes. Foster carers will say, I don't really feel I have enough experience in this area. And some people will be very specific, like, I don't really feel I would like to foster teenagers at this point until maybe I've done some respite care and got sort of acquainted. Because if people haven't had children of their own or they haven't had much experience of teenagers, it can be quite daunting for them. So we would take that very much into account, that people need to have training to gain experience, to really sort of work out where their interests and skills lie, as well as us sort of thinking how they would best match with, you know, the children that we need to find placements for.
And if things do go wrong, hopefully they don't very often, but if things do go wrong and the foster parent finds a situation really difficult to manage, do you step in?
Yes, definitely. Foster carers have monthly supervision and, you know, they're encouraged to contact us if there's any difficulties in between, and we see them regularly at various meetings. So if there's difficulties, we would do everything we can to try and work out how to support the carers and the child to make things work. work, but sometimes placements do break down. Maybe they don't work for some reason. We have to acknowledge that and accept that and then try and make a smooth transition as possible to move on to another foster carer and, you know, make another match, because it's not a perfect science. We're dealing with complex issues and human beings, and with the best one in the world, sometimes things don't work out and there's no blame attached. It's about how we best support carers and children to make things successful for them.
It's wonderful that, you know, you have so many parents like you, Jill, who've put yourself forward and taken on children to foster.
Well, like I said, it's very rewarding. It's the most rewarding job that I've done, and it's challenging, can be stressful, very tiring sometimes. But I think the rewards far outweigh, you know, all the challenges that come at you. The young lady that I fostered, she got quite upset when she discovered that I was paid a fee to look after her. And I said to her, well, you do, because you need some money to, you know, to live and to pay your mortgage and your bills. At the end of the day, it's the only job that I've ever had that I would, you know, if I'd won the lottery, I would still continue because I just love it so much.
So if parents listening to this feel that they would like to investigate further, know a little bit more about fostering with a view to perhaps taking it on themselves, how do they get in touch with you, Rosemary?
Okay, well, I'd sort of say parents, families, single people are all welcome. And if they contact us, Hertfordshire County Council Fostering, by ringing this number 0800 917 0925, or look on our website, www.hertfordshire.gov.uk/fostering. We'd be very pleased to hear from you and welcome your contact.
And are you particularly hoping to hear from younger parents? Because I guess you've got a lot of foster parents who've been doing it for a long time, and yes, you need to keep rejuvenating, if you like, with the younger flow coming up. Is that right?
I suppose our campaign at the moment is about sort of like empty nests. So it's thinking about people whose children have left home, moved on, they've got space, they've still got the commitment and the heart to care for children. But yes, we welcome all ages. Yes, please get in contact.
Just give us that phone number once more.
It's 0800 917 0925.
And Jill, if you had to sort of say in one sentence to a prospective parent who's interested in the idea, what would you say to them?
Get in touch and give it a go. I don't think you'll look back.
Jill, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us about your experience of fostering. And Rosemary Hobday from Hertfordshire Fostering Service, thank you too.